Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
The guy that I love in music the most and have for coming up to probably 15 years is Kanye West.
Do you still love him now?
I can't not love Kanye, but it's been a very traumatic 3 weeks waiting for the release of his, I think, 10th album called Donda.
Can you just quickly explain what has happened in the last, three, four? It feels like it's been months, but
Kanye hosted
only been 3 weeks.
Essentially a stadium show for the album release of Donda, which is the name of his late mother. That was 3 weeks ago. So album didn't come out. And he went, no, I've made some changes. I've tweaked it. And he hosted another event at the same Mercedes-Benz Stadium over in America with another 50,000 people in there. And then we waited and the album still didn't come out. And then yesterday afternoon, he went to Chicago, his hometown, Shy Boy. And he even transported his family home, his mother's home, put it in the middle of the stadium, hosted an event for the album release of Donda. And we didn't get anything. We do know what the new music sounds like, though. If you don't know what new Kanye sounds like, here's a little taste. You need something unexpected. Stump from a web fit. You ask him to
feel protected. And still feel protected. Just man, love it. I'm actually, was never really a big fan of Kanye as a person, but his music, love. Love, love, love.
Yeah, so Kanye, he's made some new tweaks to the album. He dropped Jay-Z off his album to put in a new rapper called DaBaby.
Wait, didn't he bring Marilyn Manson out as well?
He did, yes. He likes controversy. Apparently Kim Kardashian and him got remarried at the end of it. I mean, a lot went on. He got set on fire. It was a big spectacle. We still don't have an album, but that's not what we're talking about. Kanye West, amidst the last 3 weeks of chaos in his life, he has filed court documents in LA to change his name from Kanye Omari West to one word, like Prince, Ye. One word, two letters, Y-E. Now, that's been his nickname for a while.
I was going to say, that has been his nickname for ages, yeah?
Kind of started with Yeezy, and then it kind of went down to Ye.
Ye.
But he likes Ye because, this is his quote, it's the most commonly used word in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
And he's just gone full scripture these days.
Sucks. Yeah. Oh, wait, doesn't he have his own...
A Sunday service?
Yeah, I was going to say religion, but I'm sure it's not his own. But yeah,
I'm part of a cult.
His own way of, yeah, he was good, like, I didn't want to say it.
I drank the Kool-Aid. Don't worry about that. It's pretty hard to support Kanye through that Taylor Swift incident a few years ago, but I stuck by him. Unlike Kim Kardashian. All right.
So what are we asking, if you've had to change your name or why did you change your name?
Yeah, that's what I want. And obviously not divorce. I mean, unless there's something amazing about the reason you change your name within the divorce. Yeah. I want to know, like, witness protection. I want to know, did you grow up with the name Ivan Milat? And then all of a sudden Australia's most infamous serial killer came out and you went, probably should change that.
Oh, you remember that little girl? Her name was Isis. And then obviously, it was such a beautiful name for her. And then, obviously she had to change that. But... remember my name changed at my name changed 2 days at when I was 2 days old.
Oh, that's I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mama Jules named me Remy Luce.
And then your dad hated it.
And my dad was out pig shooting and then turned up 2 days later and he was like, I'm not having a daughter called Remy Luce.
Remy Luce, everybody. 13, 10, 60.
Okay, Julie.
Why did you change your name? I mean, for Jules, an obvious reason why Mama Jules.
Well, yeah.
Let's do it. Why did you change your name? Every other reason other than divorce. Now, let's go to 13 10 60. I hope this call in Queensland. I don't want to say your name. I want to let you say what your name legally is.
They call me Gadget Man.
Gadget Man. Gadget.
What?
Name Man.
So, true story, your name is legally changed to Gadget Man.
Yeah, and I wanted it to be Gadget Man, one word, but I wasn't allowed to do that. So it's first name Gadget, last name Man.
Now, I mean, obviously...
James Bond, is that how you say it to people?
Man. Gadget Man.
So obviously you must live in the nerd space like me. What was it particular? What was the gadget that kind of took over this lifestyle change of yours?
Well... I fix gadgets for a living, so I have phone shops and stuff like that. And most customers are really awesome, and I thought, you know what? Let me put on the cape. The name.
Wait, so does your family, I just need to know more, does your family have to take on the last name Man?
Well, no, not at all. So my wife and kids are still called my normal name.
Yeah.
And my mum still calls me Chris. Okay. My wife still calls me Chris, but everybody else calls me Gadget Man.
Oh my gosh, I need to look at
Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Now, I came across a study earlier on during the week. You may or may not have seen it, but the headline read, eating a hot dog can take 36 minutes off your life. And I, to be honest, I haven't eaten a hot dog for a very long time. And it got me thinking about someone who has eaten a lot of hot dogs. His name is Cal Stubbs. He is Australia's number one competitive eater. He also goes by the name of Hulk Smash Foods. And so at Hulk Smash Foods is where you can find him on Instagram. But he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good to hear you're alive, mate. For one. Just, you know, probes. Good life to you.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm living on borrowed time.
Now, Cal, how much were you tagged into this article after
lot,
it was released?
A lot. The Insta blew up on Facebook on Thursday with the tags, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Now, how many hot dogs have you eaten in your life? Would you? What's an estimate of how many you've eaten?
I reckon 12,000 to 15,000. I was trying to work it out last night. I reckon 12,000 to 15,000 around there.
Do you? So you're just the walking rebuttal to this argument. I mean, obviously, it doesn't take 36 minutes off your life because you'd be close to dead, or you'd be dead.
Probably would have been dead 26 years ago.
Good. He's done the maths.
Now, also in the study, they did say, though, that if you eat like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that actually adds 33 minutes to your life.
Was this study constructed by Kraft?
I was going to say, by that account, you could just sit there eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and live forever.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, well, if you want to make up for those 15,000 hot dogs you've eaten, if you just start now with the peanut butter and jelly.
Well, Disney, that bloody idiot, he's frozen himself. He just should have been eating PJs.
Yeah, exactly.
Peanut butter jellies. I've just got a bunch of questions for you, Cal. Obviously, the study's still silly, but if I'm going to chat to Australia's biggest fast eater, I've got a bunch of questions for you. What food couldn't you eat in a large quantity fast?
Oh, broccoli. That's the only food. That's my kryptonite.
Interesting. Not chili or anything, just broccoli.
Chili's fine. I've done the hottest foods on the planet. But broccoli, I don't know what it is. I just can't stomach it. Can't even smell it.
Now, Cal, has there ever been a moment? Obviously, like I've been following your page, Hulk Smash. I can't even
say
it. Hulk Smash Foods. I'm having a stroke just from thinking about eating a hot dog. Have you ever felt like when you've been competitive eating that you just might pass out, or you might, you know, you feel the heart palpitations happening? You know, I've seen the food that you eat.
Indigestion, at minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do get the adrenaline going, but with that much food, you sort of, when you sort of start slowing down, you do get like that sort of food coma sort of puts you into a bit of a trance. That is definitely real, and you get sweats and, so you've got to be pretty fit to do it. It helps if you're fit. But you just have to be mentally tough as well.
Cal, eating 50 hot dogs in a sitting and just, you know, having mustard drizzle down your chin, I imagine you're a bit of a lady killer. Has many women come into your life from fast eating?
I've been married for 9 years. In
lucky her,
4 days
locking
time,
you
actually,
in.
So
happy anniversary.
Yes, luckily I don't have to worry about that anymore.
The most surprising thing is that if you see Cal, admittedly, I actually thought that you'd be a much, much bigger guy, but you are actually not. How do you stay so trim?
Yeah, so most of the time, the competitions are sort of split, so it's not like you're doing those sort of foods every day.
Yeah.
They may be only, you know, once a week for a challenge, or maybe the big competitions are only once a month. So in the time in between, you just eat regularly and eat healthy.
It's kind of like your cheat day.
Have your blowout ones. Yeah, exactly.
And Cal, I kind of, you know, reciprocate your feelings because you probably don't know this, but I'm actually a food-eating champion myself. Earlier this year, I raced dogs in who could eat food faster. I did lose to a Labrador.
I was going to say, you wouldn't beat a Labrador.
Do you think, as Australia's fastest food eater, you could beat all species of canine?
I don't know about lab. They go pretty hard.
Mate, I witnessed it. It was crazy.
Yeah, they've got no filter at all in the Labrador. I reckon I beat most of them, but I reckon a lab might get me.
Makes me feel better. Makes me feel better.
Under 4 seconds, a hot dog in under 4 seconds? You reckon a lab could do that?
Yeah.
Yeah? I feel like we need to put it to the test.
They don't even chew.
Cal, more life to you, mate. When we saw this article about the hot dogs, we first thought of you. I won't ask Jules to say the name, but it's Hulk Smash Food on Instagram. Or as Jules says, thank you very much for your time, Cal.
No worries. And to whoever did the survey, maybe they could spend that money doing hot dogs for the homeless next time.
Oh, very good point.
Dylan, Jules and Angus, this is Weekend Breakfast.
I want to know, what made you realise as a kid that you were poor? Now, the reason I want to talk about it is because as when I was a kid, I didn't grow up too privileged. I mean, I had a roof over my head. I had food in my stomach, you know, went to school, all that kind of stuff. But there were just some things that I felt really like ostracized, like, you know, that we were living in a two-bedroom apartment with, you know, five people. I was sharing a room with my grandparents, and there was my first ever sleepover when I was about 11, and I went to my girlfriend's house and she had her own bedroom, and I was so embarrassed.
But you didn't understand the circumstances you were in until you see other people and how they live.
Right. Yeah. She had her own room. She even had her own playroom, which was another bedroom. You know, so
must
I was
nice.
Like, but I was that really, you know, for me, it was like, oh, damn, our family is poor. And so I kind of want to share those experiences this morning. Now, this has come up is because if you're not a Kylie Jenner fan, you may not have seen this, but her daughter, Stormy, 3 years old, has been talking a lot about riding a big yellow school bus. So what do? When you got the money to spend, you hire out a big yellow school bus so that your child can experience what it's like to be on a big yellow school bus.
Obviously
they're over in the States.
Kylie and Travis aren't chucking their kids on a public school, let alone public school bus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be chauffeur-driven, you know, bulletproof Escalades.
Now, they copped a lot of backlash over this with comments saying that rich people are literally so far from reality. They bought a school bus for Stormy just to sit on. And Stormy got to play make-believe poor today. She is 3 years old. But I do want to hear those defining moments. 13 10 60. Give us a call. I want to hear, what were the things that signified that you were poor as a kid?
Yeah, I definitely have to understand and accept that I was privileged growing up, even though I had a single, you know, parent household, and mum would definitely go without meals to put chicken in front of us while she'd have baked beans and stuff. But in the whole essence of the world, apparently if you own an iPhone, you're in the top 1% of wealth in the world.
Yep,
so
exactly.
We definitely understand that. But here's some things that my mum did to save money. Here's our,
okay.
So she used to add water to our nearly empty shampoo bottles.
Oh, yes.
To keep it going. Yep. I remember while also in the bathroom.
I still do that now.
We had to share our bath water. I used to get it after my sister.
Okay, that... I thankfully never had to do, mainly because we didn't have a bath.
That helps. You can't keep the shower. And we also had garbage bags of clothing dropped on our front door from our friends down the road. They had a Tom.
Oh, the hand-me-down.
He was 2 years older than me. Luckily, he had really cool surfy style, so there's a lot of Quicksilver clothing in there. But we used to have like garbage bags, and that used to be my clothes. So that was sort of the stuff we had going up.
Wait a minute. I would have never known that.
Well, 13, 10, 60, fun stuff is obviously. We kind of want to know, when did you realise you may be a little bit less off than the others? I can't say poor. I can't actually get it out of my mouth. Brad, what was the moment for you that you realised?
So the moment that I realised, it wasn't until a few years after it was happening, but basically growing up I had obviously like two grandparents, and then my mum's mother, she was always known as the food nana because she'd come from the Central Coast up to my hometown and bring a massive box of groceries on a fortnightly basis. And it wasn't until about maybe 10 years later that I realized that she'd stopped doing that, and that wasn't like a normal thing.
She was doing it because you needed the help, but you just thought, food nana!
Yeah, woo! Nana's coming with
it's
the goods.
It's food nana day.
All right, let's go to John from Victoria. What was it for you, John?
When it was Christmas time, when we'd wake up, I'd hear the sound of bells. And, of course, when I got up, everybody had new scooters and new bicycles. I would, of course, get like just a $3 cricket set. But at the end of the day, we realised that it wasn't all about money because we'd have 15 or 20 people playing cricket with my $3 cricket set. So, but then we realised that family and everything else was more important. But
That's
we did know that we didn't have much money, but wasn't that all that important?
That actually reminds me, because when I was a kid, like, so my brother and I would just get one present, but that one present wasn't a toy. It was like a new bedspread. Like, as a, like a seven-year-old, that is, you don't want a new blanket.
Congratulations, like, Jules. You've got a 20-piece cutlery set for the family dinner table. What? Hang on, what, Mum? Thanks, John. We'll go to Charlie in North Queensland. What was it for you that you, moment the moment you realised?
Yeah, so our parents actually made us shower with our clothes on to, like, you know, save on some washing and some water and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, wow.
And not only that, then the bucket of water that was left over, because we had to have a bucket underneath the shower to be used to flush the toilet.
Oh, wow. That is growing up different.
That's like, yeah, that's almost third world. Like, because that's what we do in the Philippines, right? Yeah, you wash your clothes, shower, and then flush the toilet with the same water.
I remember back, when I was growing up, we had water saving tips, and Mum put it, it came in like the Herald Sun. I grew up in Victoria, the paper there. And you got to, it was like a magnet that you got to put on your shower screen. And it was like, you should have 1 minute showers. You should have this. And then Mum got that, and she's like, oh, we're going to put a bucket in the shower. Then we're going to use that to, feed our plants. And stuff around the house, water the garden. And so I remember the first day Mum put a bucket in the shower, I filled it up and then I tripped over on the carpet and spilt like 15 litres of soapy water all over the carpet. Mum went, we won't save water like that.
Dylan, Jules and Angus, this is Weekend Breakfast.
I'm about to tell a sad story and you've got to find your way to weave yourself into it.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Look, if anything, if I'm just ears for you, you know what I mean?
12 days ago, I got a text message from my best mate, which told me that he was rushing down to Brisbane Hospital from the Sunshine Coast in an ambulance because they believed their 2-year-old daughter was about to be diagnosed with leukemia. It's been incredibly difficult because of border closures. I would have jumped normally on a flight to just be there, whatever be there means for him, whether it be just stay down in the lobby of the Brisbane Hospital that they're at and get him a coffee or whatever it would have done. I would have jumped on a flight immediately. But because of circumstances, I couldn't. Now, that really sucked. After literally hours just staring at my screen, waiting for those three little dots to show up, waiting for his response to find out what's happening, we finally got the text message that we were expecting but not wanting. It is a type of leukemia, which is the blood leukemia, which means that she was going to go in the next day for chemotherapy and start this journey.
Oh, my gosh. And 2 years old.
2 years old, yeah. But I want to talk about the good stuff because a lot of great came from it. Not good, great. That was friends and family set up a GoFundMe page.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that being is that they've actually also got a 5-week-old daughter called Valley, and they live on the Sunshine Coast, had to relocate to Brisbane for the foreseeable future. There is no timeline they know of how she's going to react to the chemo and the radiation, etc. So we set up a GoFundMe and it exceeded expectations.
Oh, beautiful.
And that takes away that financial burden.
Of course.
On them so they can concentrate on that because Jack's like, I need to work harder than ever. Yeah. How do I juggle this?
And be there for my family, you know, at the same time.
So to see over 1,000 different people donate was amazing. Yeah. And it was
I just got cold chills. Ugh.
Lockie from the Wiggles sent Aspen a personalised 3-minute little concert where he sang her songs in his home on a little piano with a teddy bear audience.
Yeah.
To see Sunshine Coast families went and landscaped, without Jack knowing, landscaped the full front of their yard at a cost of tens of thousands of dollars. Just did it on a weekend, went and pulled out palm trees, gravel, repaved, new grass, and just sent a photo to Jack with nothing asked. Said, this is what you'll come home to.
Beautiful. Can I ask a question? Because this is something that, I mean, when it comes to being a parent, your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
That something like this would happen to any of your kids. As a parent?
Yeah, it hit different. There's no doubt about it. Because, of course, my mum, if I was to be sick, she would want to take on that burden.
Mm.
If my daughter Indy, who's 6 months old, had something happen to her, I would plead if the world would allow it for me to take on that so she didn't have to. And yeah, definitely. When the news came through, I looked at my own daughter and I just started bawling my eyes because it hits different. And not to say, I'm not taking away the emotion of any of our mates and family and friends who don't have kids, but just how I felt in that moment. And you're right. Having your own daughter, especially, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a connection that Jack and I have because of that. In our group, we're the only ones with daughters. And that's something we talk about and how they're going to grow up, especially, and for that to potentially be compromised, that really smashed home.
But, oh man, sorry, that bit just made me tear up.
But the good news is there was great in the world, and it was showcased over the past 10 days. So it's something I wasn't prepared to share last week because I didn't know how I felt. But now a week past it and seeing the good in the world and the outcomes of it. and, you know, some positive words from her doctors. Yeah. So good luck on this fight, Aspen, and we're all with you.
You're getting up with Dylan, Jules and Angus on Weekend Breakfast.
Jules, I have not told this story because it hadn't really been a story yet.
Okay.
But I have forever wanted a classic car.
Like Ford Fairlane thing? Like,
yeah,
you know?
Of course. You kind of see like muscle cars, you know, 1969 yeah. Dodge Chargers going for like ridiculous amounts of money and whatnot. Mm. But I just wanted an old classic Mercedes. And
oh, yeah, okay, I know the ones that you're talking about.
Yeah, so I had the chance to buy off Facebook a 1969 Mercedes, which cost me $3,000.
Did it even go?
It did drive, but there's a lot of rust in it. And rust is obviously bad with cars, with old cars. And so I knew that I'd have to spend a couple of $1,000s getting the rust removed and just getting it up to a point where I could get it on the road and registered. Mm-hmm. Now, I did this before we had Indy. So Emily was pregnant when we bought this car. And it was sort of like my last hurrah to being able to spend any sort of money not on myself. And so I took it to this place. I won't say where, but I took it to a place and dropped it off. After looking at its Google reviews, mostly five stars, the comments saying fantastic service.
Yeah.
You know, the restoration of this car was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
This is my man.
I dropped it off and I said to the guy.
Well, last year.
Actually, but yeah, over a year.
Over
ago.
A year.
And so I said to the guy, look, mate, we're about to head into lockdown. I'm in no rush to get this back. Because I wanted him to do a really good job. In my head, when I said that, I'm like, you know what, take time, take care.
I need to save money to pay for it.
Yeah, is that true. What you were, true.
Was going, yeah.
I'm going to read out our text message chain from November 2020. Happy Friday, bud. Just making sure you didn't need anything from me to get started or anything. Haven't heard from you. No reply. Obviously, December comes around, Christmas presents, etc. I must have been distracted. Monday, the 4th of January, 2021. Hey, mate, Happy New Year. Just checking in on the progress of the car. Also, if there's any photos of the intended interior I could see before install and if there was a date of completion in mind. Nothing.
Oh, gee. Okay.
Monday, the 26th of April. I must have tried to have called him earlier this year and I got a, I'm currently driving. Can I please call you back? I wrote back, no worries. When you can. Yeah. Cheers. Nothing. So I replied on the 27th of April. I'm free anytime after 12 p.m.
Yep.
Nothing. Thursday, the 5th of August. I must have tried to call him. Can I call you later? I said, no worries. Good to talk today and anytime, in fact, up until 8 p.m. When my daughter goes to bed.
Yeah.
Nothing. Thursday, the 19th of August. We're going back only a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
I must have tried to call. I'm currently driving. Can I please call you back? Then Monday, the 23rd of August, just a week and so ago, I tried to call.
Yeah.
He replied. Sorry, been relocating. Missed lots of calls. I'll call you tomorrow. He didn't call.
Nothing.
And the Friday just gone, the 27th of August, I said, hey, mate, I think it's time to talk.
Yeah. Did you get a response?
No response.
There he is.
I'm being ghosted.
Ghosting. Yeah.
I'm being ghosted, but like they're keeping me on a tenderhook by...
Yeah,
you know, I call and then, you know, it goes to call decline because they've obviously sent back that automated response. I have not heard
this
from this
guy. Again.
I've not spoke. I spoke to him on the phone maybe 4 months ago and he said it'd be done by August. And so it's obviously the end of August.
Yeah.
A year of it in the shop and he's still ghosting me.
Okay.
For one, what do you think's happened to my car?
I reckon he sold it.
100%. I'm talking about a car that doesn't exist. And so I want to know, is it just me? And how long did somebody last being ghosted? James in Melbourne, you're being ghosted by who?
I'm being ghosted by Coles Supermarket.
Oh, wait, what is going on?
So when I was 15, I went for my first job.
Yeah.
I went to the interview. That day after the interview, they called me back and said, congratulations, you got the job. I was pretty super stoked. They said, we'll call you in a few days about your induction. I was like, yeah, no worries. Flash forward about 6 months later, I'd gotten another job. I'd worked there for a couple of months and everything, still nothing from Coles.
Yeah.
They finally called me back and said, oh, do you want to come in for your induction now?
6 months.
Nope.
I love it
I'm now a fresh food person.
I also love it when they pick up the conversation like nothing's happened in the middle.
Yeah.
Like I haven't been trying to get onto you every day for 6 months. Emily in Brisbane, you're being ghosted by who?
I was actually ghosted on Gumtree. I was in the final stages of buying this dog. And messaged them, tried to get their address, gave them a couple of calls. It was confirmed, like, previously to that, but then they never got back to me. And then, like, a couple of days later, I saw that all the dogs had
were
been
gone,
bought, including the one that I had picked out. I felt already emotionally attached every and then ghosted.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you should never buy animals off Facebook, and you've been ghosting a dog that's at an animal shelter. So,
oh, come on,
onus is on you.
You're getting up with Dylan, Jules, and Angus on Weekend Breakfast.